Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Now, I want to say this. The scope of deeper, I want you to understand where we have the programs that we have. Reboot Camp is majorly evangelical. And that's why the first night, we must teach on the gospel no matter what. We must teach on the gospel. The next morning, prayer stretch, afternoon, sanctification, evening, power night, and like that. Because the scope is evangelical. Deeper, as the name implies, is for consecration, is for you to get deeper in the things of God, for you to examine yourself. The Bible says, examine yourself, except you be reprobate. Except you be reprobate. It's an opportunity for you to strengthen hands that hang low and feeble. Strengthen feeble knees. And run with grace and patience, the race set before you. Say aloud, amen. Amen. And so, if you came to deeper with your prayer life wobbly, you must get your prayer life back. Say aloud, amen. Amen. And you must, excuse this expression, you must feel after God. I know that you know by faith that He's with you. He's everywhere. But you know what I mean. When you feel after God, you know, where you have that pure and holy passion and then just this consciousness of His presence, it makes a difference. Now, listen, when it comes to conviction, our final authority and focus will forever be the scriptures. Amen, somebody? Amen. And you see, when it comes to people's experiences or visions, I don't really pay attention to them. Because, you know, especially people who claim to see heaven, see hell, a lot of them lie. I hope you know. You know, there was one boy. He said he went to heaven and that the angels were entertaining him. They said, what song should we sing for you? So and I said, sing we rock you, you know, and you know, and all of to be clear, they wrote books, made movies, made millions of dollars. Then when the boy grew up, he now said he didn't see anything, you know, that his parents that told him what to say. But the repentance was without restitution. He didn't return the money. You know, but sometimes, I don't pity the body of Christ. It's good for you. You too, you know, go read Bible. There are some things you hear, you will know that this one is malaria. Malaria. Now malaria caused this one. I don't doubt you didn't see something new. But it's not heaven. You went somewhere. So it's not heaven. You know, that's why you need to read your Bible carefully. You know, and I can tell you that generally, people who have had genuine experiences are not even quick to share. I can tell you that one thing for sure. You can discern that by Paul's caution. There was such a man caught up in the third heaven. He's talking about himself in third person. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. You know, and there's a sacredness to it. Sacredness. A lot of funny things happen in the body of Christ. That's how there was a woman who claimed to go to heaven. And then she said, Pastor Adeboye, God said, Pastor Adeboye is not serving God. Bishop Oyedepo is not serving God. So there was a pastor who doesn't like these two men of God. So he was happy and called a crusade and played the video. He didn't know that there would be part two. So, you know, so in part one that he played, he said, I've been warning you about these men. See, someone has seen it now by revelation. You know, so in part two, he mentioned in other names and mentioned his name too, that he's not a man of God. So the man wanted to come and say he did not go. He went to. He went. You know, go change your mind. He's correct. Do you understand? You know, at the end of the day, you just read your Bible well. You just read your Bible well. When people say they went to hell and they saw people that were there because they wore trouser. Ladies wore trouser. Listen, make no mistake. The Bible advocates for decency in dressing. Is that clear? The definition of decency is that it covers you up. And you can make an argument that there are a lot of trousers that are way more decent than many skirts. I'm sure you know, Abby. You know pocket square? That thing that men put in their suits, Pastor Kelechi, raise your own up. That thing that men use in their suits, that small material. I hope you know people use that kind of material to sew skirts. He says, sorry, let me sew gown, half yard. Then they would tie two ropes like this. If you're a female engineer, which is more decent, trouser or skirt? If you're climbing up a ladder, to decorate. You know, there are some things here that is not just a doctrinal problem, it's an intelligence problem. If you have a problem with trouser, you have not traveled out. You have not. Go to Canada. Cold will change your conviction. Nobody will tell you. You will see new light in the world. There's nothing wrong with trouser now. Cold never agree. Now, he gets some rhema, you go to see for Ikorodu. No. Trouser is a sin. Why? That's why. Ikorodu, maybe this is a sign. Maybe God wants us to open a branch. You people are plenty. You know when the Bible says the uttermost parts, Jerusalem, Judea. Don't worry, we are getting there. Jerusalem, Judea, then the uttermost parts of the earth. I said all of that to say this, and I want to move with the speed of light. This is going to be a very simple and elementary teaching. But there was this particular encounter, a testimony I read of. First and foremost, it tallies with many things the Bible says. Many things the Bible says. If you're a good Bible student, you hear his testimony, you just see a lot of consistency. And then number two, this guy is not a religious person, you know, from his hair, his look. He just died, and by the grace of God, he went to hell, went to heaven, came back. And he said some things that were intriguing. The first thing he said, I tried to itemize it, and I want to move with the speed of light now. He talked about four things. He didn't itemize it that way, but I just itemized it so that it would be fast. The first thing he talked about in hell, of course, as you can anticipate, is that there will be physical torment. He said it was extremely hot and excruciating. You could hardly breathe, you know, and all of that. He talked about that. That we all know. And then he said the second thing was that the torment was also emotional. A lot of people don't talk about that. There was emotional torment. And he said, think about the worst experience you have ever had in life. He says, multiply it by 100 or maybe 1,000 and imagine being in that state perpetually for all eternity. So it was beyond the physical torment and torture. It was the emotional torment and torture. And then he said the third thing, there will be this guilt that comes from the sudden realization that God did love you after all. You will just know. You will just know. It looks like the scales fall off your eyes. And you know, God did love me after all. I never received this love. And that will also be a guilt and a pain in your heart for all eternity. And then number four, just the fact that there is no way out. When you go through trials in life, sometimes at least you just know that there will be a way out. It will pass. Even things that there is no way out of, maybe God forbid you lose a loved one, at least as time goes on, the hurt and the pain is not as much as when it first happened. Not in hell. Not in hell. This is a constant state of hopelessness. Do you know what it means to feel hopeless? To feel helpless? And then you're in that state perpetually. And whilst all of this is happening, his dad is praying for him on the earth. And then suddenly, he's just sucked in to a new atmosphere. Something dragged him up, and then he found himself in heaven straight in front of the throne room of God. Right in front of the throne of God. And he mentioned a lot of interesting things. First and foremost, the light from that throne is purer than anything you've ever seen. If you look at the rays from any light in the world, you can see some particles, but this one is just clear. And that's how he described it. And there is such an instant reverence in that place. He said there is like a soft thunder that you can hear. A soft thunder. It's soft, but you can hear it, and it's just reverence. Awe. And a godly type of fear emanating from the presence of God. But that's not what intrigued me the most. He said, just standing there before God. Just standing there before God. He said, think of the best thing that can ever happen to you. Best thing that can ever happen to you. Multiply it by 1,000, maybe 10,000, maybe 1,000,000. He said, just standing there was a better feeling than that. That the fact that you were just standing there, it was the most fulfilling thing in the world. Fulfilling. And you don't want to do anything else. You just want to stand there. You're at his beck and call, waiting for him to ask you to do anything. You're just like, what do I do? What do I? Everybody in that space is constantly waiting for an instruction. Like, I'm going to obey. Just tell me what to do. Everybody is constantly in that phase. Every other ambition dies. You just want to be there. Let me tell you why this is important. Because you see, you can have a religious kind of ambition that you hide your selfishness under. You know, when the Lord gave Saul an instruction, go into that place, destroy everything, destroy all the animals, and then he brought animals and said he brought them as sacrifice to the Lord. You know, you can use religious reasons to cover your selfishness. Lord, I want to be the biggest businessman and I will give you all the glory. You know, there was an entrepreneurship class I was in years ago, and they asked everybody, what are your goals? And they asked one lady, what is your goal? She said she wants to own every business in the world. I'm like, you know, go mind your business. You understand? So, I mean, why would you want that?
Why would you want that? I mean, I can say that because I know she knows better now. I hope she knows better now. You know, but you have all those kind of desires. I want to be the most famous musician. I want to be the biggest pastor. I want to be whatever it is. But when you are there, all you want to do is serve. Are you listening to me? And then he said something else very striking. He said, the moment you stand there, you don't remember anything. Now, when you're thinking from the lens of your current status and situation, that seems like, wow, really? He said, you don't remember friends, you don't remember family. The moment you stand in the presence of God. He said, when he came back to the world, he was upset. Everybody was shouting, yeah, praise the Lord. He was angry. He was angry. And that tallies with many people who have had near-death experiences. They just pissed. If you've seen God, you don't want to see anyone else. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people ask the question, what will heaven be like? And maybe you have this secret concern. Wouldn't it be boring? I know you don't want to seem carnal and you pretend like you've never thought about it before. Wouldn't it be boring? Because you have a perspective of fun and enjoyment. And guess what? The person who gave you the ability to have desires, to desire good things, like when you taste the best ice cream you've ever tasted and you enjoy it and you relish the experience, it's because he gave you a tongue and he gave you the ability to appreciate the goodness of it. Are you aware he could have made food like injection? Very painful but necessary. that every day, you just, hey, here we go again. The one that would have been interesting is if sex was painful. Yes, now. Imagine God. Now, I don't know if there are people who are young, so I will just leave it there. You go rational. How many children? How many children are we having? Hey, honey. Well, yeah. He created these things within the right parameters for your enjoyment. Think about even salvation. Ephesians 2:7. It just gives you a scope of every other thing that God created for enjoyment. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ. That meaning, when you experience the goodness of God, either in salvation or in life, he wants you to just say, wow, God is so good. All things bright and beautiful. The Lord God made them all. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen something in nature and you're like, some people say there's no God? I remember flying back from Tanzania through Kilimanjaro, 30,000 feet thereabouts in the sky. And then the pilot says, look to your right. That's the top of the mountain Kilimanjaro. Above the clouds. My God, I can't explain the sight. But just imagine high up there and above the clouds, something is peeping like this. I'm like, that's the mountain. Wow. God is amazing. And I'm also like, men are crazy. People, they climb this thing. People, they're mad though.
beings. Human beings, white people in particular. They do things. Have you ever seen discoveries that you wonder, how did you discover? What were you looking for that you discovered this? God is amazing. And so when the person who created every desire tells you that when you see me, he calls himself Chief Joy. Oh my God. You're not listening to me. He calls himself Chief Joy. Of every delight you've ever experienced in life, nothing will be more fulfilling just to stand in his presence. There will be no greater privilege, no greater honor, no greater experience in life. Just to bow, just to serve. When he says, at my right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Please believe it. And most importantly, please make sure you are there. Make sure you are there. Make sure you are there. The Bible says that the 24 elders, they do not rest. Come on. Listen, and I'm telling you, the energy emanating from him will give you all the delightful interest for all eternity without complaint. To just serve, to just worship. Little caveat there. The final destiny of man is not heaven. You know that, right? There will be a new earth, and Christ will reign, and Christ will reign. Hallelujah. Hopefully it won't be Nigeria again. Like, not that I don't like Nigeria, but variety. Just shake things up. Just shake things up a little. You know, a new heaven, a new earth, and Christ will reign as king. But the difference is, every single thing you do, you achieve, you do in the name of Christ. For his glory, for the fame of his name. What a life that would be. You don't know when that would be. I know your parents told you that during their time, they told them Jesus is coming soon. But that's exactly the point. That when that day comes, people will just be like, it'll be like the days of Noah. The Bible says people were marrying, giving to marriage. You know. I don't know why everybody's saying, I will just look at it this way. You know? And then suddenly. You know, that's why I tell you, young people, get married on time. Oh. You've been wasting time. Just imagine, finally, here comes the bride. Yeah, that time. You know the interesting thing? The moment you get there, she just say, brother, how are you? Oh, Tilo. Say, my spouse. No, I'm married to Jesus. Straight up. Hallelujah. What if it's sooner than you think? Just what if? Just what if? Just what if? Hallelujah. You know, reminds me of the saying of Jesus. I say to you, not everyone here will sleep until they see. Just what if? Just what if this is the generation? This is that generation. Just what if? At the end of the day, just stay ready, right? See, anywhere, whether it's now, we will serve either in this world or in the world to come. We are ready, amen? And we'll take as many people as possible with us. But I want to tell you, if you're here and you're not born again, you must be born again. You must. You must. You must. There are literally 1,001 things I can teach. You know, by the grace of God, knowledge is not... is not scarce in this house. If you want me to confuse you, I can confuse you. I can tell you things that you go home and say, that's deep. Did I say, what did he teach? You say, it was deep. As per deeper now. You all enable me, stop it. But anyway, this is the crux of what we're saying, and I just want to cap this with this. How do you prepare for heaven? Now, of course, all you have to do is believe in the finished work of Christ. Amen, somebody? Amen. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus died for your sins, shed his blood for the remission of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Say loud, amen. Amen. But the point I want to make from telling you all that I said prior is this. Everything that you would effortlessly experience in heaven, you should experience on earth by faith. Amen, somebody. You see, I gave you the analogy of the Jerusalem temple, the Old Testament temple. And think about this, that the most holy place was a simulation of heaven. Remember that, right? But think about it, and it gives you an understanding of priesthood. That a man, who of course was a type of Christ, but nonetheless, a man serving as the priest, the high priest of that year, will walk through the outer court into the inner court, almost literally into heaven. Into heaven. And then he turns his back and he comes back to the people. Do you realize it's as though he has been to heaven? This is why Moses comes down from the mountain and his face is radiant. He has been with God. 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 And sometimes you have the privilege where it looks like natural experiences and activities and limitations are suspended. Time is compressed. Or some things that will limit you normally. Now, he's on the mountain 40 days. He didn't die. Didn't die of hunger. That's the presence of God. So the question is, are we really preparing for heaven if 30 minutes is too long a prayer time? When you get to heaven, just being in the presence of God will be all the energy you need. But I'm saying on the earth, you have to live by faith. What will be your experience in heaven? And so I must enjoy the presence of God. I must. I must. This is beyond devotion time. Are you listening to me? Can I tell you something? I have discovered that the people who will really do great things for God in this world are people, let me use this expression, who are spiritual nerds. There are some people They have Bible study time, and that's cool. But you know what God's plan is? In Him, I live and move and have my being. Meaning it's part of your life. Beyond that time, that regiment of Bible study, you when we check your search history is Bible. When we check your phone is Bible. If we could cut a slice out of you, scriptures will come out. Beyond prayer time. You are talking to people and you take a break like Jesus and you say, Father, glorify your name. And he replies. He replies. Is that secret place or public place now? You live there. Are you getting what I'm saying? And by the help of God, God can help you press into that. What if prayer becomes a delight? Prayer becomes a delight. You live it. What if indeed your ministry to the people is an offshoot of being in that holy place in Eden for as long as possible? You come out with your face radiant. You come out with life-changing instructions. You're not going to wait till the final fulfillment. There must be a slice of heaven in you right now. And it must show forth in your devotion. Say aloud, amen. It must show forth in your devotion. Show forth in your devotion. It must show forth in your consecration, in your interests and in your priorities. You know what Paul says to the church at Colossae? Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Oh my God, are you listening to me? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things. Please help me nudge the person by your side. Say, seek those things. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. Can I tell you something? This is deeper, so I can say it. Sometimes I'm reading a lot of stuff in the Bible about theology, the knowledge of God, beautiful discoveries in the Word of God, beautiful discoveries. But are you aware there is very little theology in the church these days? Because everyone wants a sermon application. It must apply. How many people are still interested in knowing God for God's sake? It spoke to my emotions. It touched me. All this knowledge that God revealed about himself. Who is going to learn about it? Who is it for? For angels? Is the Bible out of vogue? You have to understand, there's a difference. Not every Bible study is a performance. In fact, Bible study should not be a performance at all. You know, let me just use one very natural example. You know, when I was doing my MBA, Master in Business Administration, I discovered something. All the interesting lecturers were graduate assistants or junior lecturers. All the professors were boring. Some of you know what I'm saying. And that's when I knew charisma is not a show of knowledge.
You can be very expressive and not truly, in the grand scheme of things, be deep. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so it's one of the measures of growth to sift beyond all the theatrics and to be interested in the stuff. In the stuff. Please, are you listening to me? In the stuff. You know, there are some books I read now. They will bore you. I promise you that. You know, there was one very arrogant guy. He got to a point, he said, it reminds me of the saying in Greek. And when he did four sentences in Greek, he didn't translate. He expects that if you are reading that level of material, you should be able to read it. It reminds me of the saying. I look and I say, no, be your fault. Some of you have read physics books 6 times. There are some topics you had to read again and again. You've never done that with Bible. You just skip through the pages. I don't understand. Oh, Father, thank you for today. And you are missing a lot. A lot. A lot. A lot. Hallelujah. And God wants you to get deeper. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above at the right hand of God and set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. And then it gets to a point you begin to abominate pettiness. There's some drama you won't have interest in. At some point, you should outgrow it. You should outgrow it. Go for gold. Go for things that have eternal value. And please, let me prefix what I'm saying with a very important balance. Let me say this. When the church is dealing on subjects like this, they almost always dwell on either extreme. Almost always. Almost always. The people who are teaching stuff like this will now become so transcendent. Take the whole world and give me Jesus. You are more holy than God. God created the earth. Say, have dominion. You say, take it back. It is God who created the world and said, take. You say, take. And they always feel they are better than others. Always trying to measure who prays more, who studies more. Is it not stressful? Being a hypocrite is stressful because it's hypocrisy. Please, are you with me? So you must learn to read the Bible in balance. So when you look at the text, for instance, like 1 Timothy 6, he says, you brought nothing into this world, you're taking nothing out. Very powerful. Godliness with contentment is gain. The word translated gain means profit. It means like you earned something. Not every profit comes from selling. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like just following God and being content. He says that's gain. Are you listening to me? And that's an important message. An important message. What if we came to a point in the church where as long as you are in the will of God, you are satisfied with your process, you may not be where you want to be, you're not where you used to be, glory be to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am doing my best and my best is good enough. I will keep learning how to improve myself. I see my neighbor driving a more fancy car. I'm happy for him. But I do not lose my sleep. Are you getting what I'm saying? Where you understand that he that has everything and does not have Christ has nothing. And he that has nothing and has Christ has everything. And he that has everything and has Christ does not have more than he that has Christ alone. Christ becomes your measure of value. Come on, are you with me? So the Bible says not to trust in certain riches. It's a mentality. It's a worldview. Not to act like what you drive.
Don't act like what you drive. There's a man of God. Anyway, don't worry about that. You know, when I was starting out in ministry, I avoided any man of God that would make me get like a plague. I avoided like a plague. Do you know what it means? If you're pastoring 30 people and you're doing it diligently, you think that's a small thing? They lied to you. If you think you are small, you think you are a small pastor. You are in charge of 5 souls. 5. And then you are faithful, training them in the Lord. You have a luxury that I don't have. You hear they are going through stuff. You can go to their house, pray for them, stand for them. There is a way you go about it in the sight of God. You'll be doing more than I am. Because your work will be more thorough. Are you listening to me? And I'm not saying this to impress you. Sometimes I miss those days. Miss those days. When things were simpler. Uka was in ushering. PK was in decorating units. Pastor Mike was in sound team. Sound engineering. You know, one day, PK was arranging decoration like this on a ladder. Then the ladder started shaking. I was looking at it like this. The ladder started shaking, 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 shaking. He just fell. Bah! Hey, God. I said, God, I beg. This leg, there was no straight before. I said, you know, there were services in this same church that during praise and worship, I would play the drums and come and preach. Oh, you don't know? I would drum. Not like I felt like, oh, I felt like it. Oh. The drummer did not come because he must have been annoyed with the pay. Oh, no drummer. Okay. Now we drum, then come and preach. In the same simpler days. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on what is more important. Please, are you listening to me?
Yes,
but I must also warn you, there's another extreme. Trust in Christ. Don't trust in riches. Don't also trust in poverty. Are you aware there are people that trust in poverty? They feel closer to God when they are poor. They feel holy. They are usually angry at people that have money. When souls are perishing, they always have good advice on generosity. For money that is not their own. You know, they don't go allow you be for this life. Even Jesus. Are you aware? Even Jesus, Judas was saying, all this money that could have been given to the poor, even Jesus. He said, you could have. And then I can tell you one thing for sure. Just like Judas, most of them are hypocrites. They are doing things behind the scenes. Judas wanted to steal the money, that's why. So, it's a known thing in psychology. When you want something desperately and you can't have it, you hate people who do. And if you're not careful and you are stuck in that kind of theology, when blessings begin to come, using the word blessings loosely, like you have material stuff, are you aware there are some people who feel guilty for having stuff? Feel guilty for having stuff. Hallelujah. Has God given you something you were afraid to use? Because sometimes we've been taught wrong. A lot of us do not know what moderation is. For a lot of people, we think moderation is It's too expensive. Why will you use something like that? That's not moderation, it's idolatry. Anything you consider too big for you to own that was created by a man like you, you have idolized. Listen carefully. Did you hear what I said? Listen. A human being like you created something and you think you can't use it. No. So let me tell you what moderation is. Moderation is, I am so secure in God and in my assignment that I only desire things that I need for this assignment at this time, that I no longer need any of these things to validate myself. Do you understand what I'm saying? So think about Jesus. If Jesus easily wanted to be the richest man in his day, he could. Someone that can turn wastewater to wine. He could easily be the richest. But based on his understanding of his assignment, he was comfortable with what he had. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's moderation. I am so way beyond it, I no longer needed to validate myself. Have you seen some kind of rich people? They enter one dimension, they stop dressing to impress. They start dressing. T-shirts. You know, all those tech bros. Oh, my God. You know, no go confuse your hair power. You drip past your hair power. You don't confuse the airport. Ah, I thought maybe I heard wrong. God said to give him, but hallelujah. So that's what moderation is. But at the end of the day, listen, the reason I'm saying all of this is this. And if I have to continue this some other time, I will, because time is up. Please listen to this. God wants us to leave from Eden. And for that to happen, our priorities have to be right. We must define greatness God's way. You can earn more money and be small. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know what it means? Maybe there is a call on your life you didn't pay attention to because of money. You are small. Read the book of Revelations. God, Jesus is writing to the church. There was a particular church. He said, because you were said, it was said that you were poor, but you are rich. And there's another church. He said, because you said I am rich and I have need of nothing, but you are poor and wretched. There are many people who are called rich in the world that are poor in the sight of God. There are many people who are called poor in the world that are rich in the sight of God. And there are many people who are rich in the sight of men and are rich in the sight of God. Just saying. All I'm saying is get your priorities right. What can God do for you to help you spend adequate time in prayer? For it to be a priority every day and you not feel like time is passing. That you can create space for everything in your life and prioritize God. Spend ample time praying, studying the word. As you get busier, some things have to give. Some good things will have to reduce. You will identify some good things that have become idols in your life. A wise man said, sin is not just wanting bad things. It's not just doing bad things. It is wanting good things badly. When you feel like this car validates me or this thing validates me, you have made an idol out of it. Even out of the things that God blesses you with. Please, are you listening to me? So you must set your heart, prioritize properly. And when you do that, oh my God. And let me say this to you. If you have not done that in a while, you have not been with God in a while. Because there's something about being with God. The moment you stand before Him, all the things, all the wrong priorities in your life will be evident. Instantly. Nobody will tell you. There is the convicting power of God's glory. Even as a man of God, you say, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Nobody told you. You know by yourself. It becomes apparent. Please, are you listening to me? May this meeting be that kind of meeting for you. May the Lord remold and reshape us and realign our priorities. Please say loud amen.
Amen.
You know, I stumbled on an old prophecy by, you know, recently. A man I never knew in my life. I heard about him just about a month ago. A friend of mine came because he heard some of the prophetic words that God has given us. And he came and he said, do you know Bob Jones? I was like, never heard that name before. He said, you should check. Long story short, God told Bob Jones, not too long from now, Bob Jones is with the Lord anyway. And the Lord said it will happen